Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
And amen. Praise the Lord, Father. Welcome to the program this morning. This evening, I'm sorry. It is August the 17th. And this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to thank you for all those who have called in at 646-668-2636. Thank you for joining us tonight. And those online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasBall. We'd also like to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us. Well, tonight I'm continuing on. I've been off, haven't been live for a couple of weeks. Took off, celebrated anniversary. But we're back and we're continuing our conversation about marriage and encouraging marriages here for the month of August. And most of October, we have some other guests scheduled to come on and be part of this program, bringing some men who have been married with 25 years or more in the body of Christ to share their insights and wisdom to encourage us in marriage. Because as we know, in this time and season and where we're at, that marriage is really under attack. The enemy is under attack with marriages and couples and allowing a lot of things to separate people. Separate spouses, husbands and wives from each other. But tonight we want to, in the next couple of series of episodes, we're going to come and want to encourage your marriage and possibly give you some insights and some ideas and some strategies to strengthen your marriage. Okay? Because it's important that we do the work of our marriages. We take care of our marriages. We do the detailing. You know, we get our cars detailed, we get our cars washed, waxed, we get them taken care of. It's the same thing with our marriages. We have to check the oil in our marriages. We have to shine that thing out. We have to see where there might be dents and scratches and areas that we're missing, our blind spots, our dirty mirrors, things that we're not seeing that we may need to see as a couple, as individuals. And we just want to encourage the husbands out there to be able to take the lead and set the temperature in your home, set the atmosphere in your homes, in your marriage and in your home, that it might be, that it might glorify God. And that's our ultimate goal here, to be able to let our marriages glorify God, that the world can see and be an example for generations to come. You'd be surprised how many folk don't have good examples of godly and loving and caring marriages and spouses. You know, and some people come from single parent homes. They don't see the interaction or understand the interaction between a husband and wife, all positive, even overcoming the challenges of marriage and challenges of family. So in the body of Christ, we have to strive to be that example, to be that salt and light when it comes to marriage. Amen. So in the midst of the programs, we're going to be having a lot of, hopefully a lot of wisdom and knowledge and little spiritual help that can help to strengthen our marriages, wherever they are, no matter how long you've been married. If you've been married 6 months, you get 6 years, 2 years, 5 years, 30 years, 25 years. There's always opportunity. We have to check it out. You know, I like to use the metaphor, you know, if you might have a home, you bought a house with a 30-year mortgage on it. How many times are you going to have to replace some of the appliances, get the roof done, the windows done, you know, remodel the kitchen, you know? So it's the same thing with our marriages. The longer we're in it, the more it's care and the more we have to take. It's not just so the longer we're in it, we don't have to worry about it. We start to take our spouse and take our relationship for granted. We have to work on that thing. We have to bring new life to that thing, freshen it up, tighten it up. So we just want to encourage you. Amen. We'll open with prayer. We're going to talk about a couple of things today, and I'm going to give you a preview of some of the upcoming shows and make a suggestion for a resource that may help strengthen your marriage. And also, maybe you could get the resource and share it with a couple that you know that may need it, because we all need it. You never know what's going on in marriages, the struggles they're having, the challenges, especially in these economic times, what's going on in the culture, what's going on with the pandemic. It's a lot of marriages being stressed out by that. Amen? Amen. First, let us pray. Lord God, I just say thank you right now, Father. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for salvation today. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, oh God, to redeem us back unto you. Father, we thank you, God, for what you're doing through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the body of Christ, God. We thank you for men and women of God who are serving, oh God, who are praying, who are interceding, oh God, for marriages and for people, oh God. Father, today I just pray, God, for the husband who's struggling. I'm praying for the father, oh God, as you continue to pray for his children, oh God, who may be going through tests and challenges, oh God. Father, today I just want to say thank you again, Lord God. Father, answer the prayers of those righteous, oh God. Father, I pray today for the lost, for the hungry, for the sick, for the homeless, Lord God, for those who don't know where their next resource and next paycheck is coming from, Lord God. I ask, oh God, that you will comfort them, Lord God, that you give them insight and wisdom, Lord God. Father, we just say thank you again for what you're doing. Continue to watch over us. Continue to keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., speaking a word to encourage men as they lead in the home, in the church, and in the community, as husbands, fathers, and sons. Amen? So tonight, first of all, we're going to recommend an addition to our summer reading list, and that's the book I'm going to be giving some highlights on and discussing a little bit here to encourage you. It's by Steve Arterburn. Steve Arterburn, A-R-T-E-R-B-U-R-N. And the name of the book is An Even Better Marriage. Start today to be happier forever. So I just want to encourage that. If you go on our Facebook page, the Issues Christian Men's Talk, you'll see it there. We added to that summer reading list for this month and for this week. We were adding new books approximately 2 weeks. So this week, I just added it onto the summer reading list, and hopefully it'll be enlightening and encouraging. Again, it's Steven Audubon, An Even Better Marriage. Start today and be happy forever. Amen. So let me start with share some of the chapters. It's a nice little small book. It's approximately like 150 pages, 130 pages, and it's broke down into seven chapters. And some of the chapter titles here, I just want to encourage you, is that chapter number one: embrace, enhance, and enjoy friendship and fun. Chapter two: respond romantically to your mate and forgiveness. Chapter four: affirm your mate's strength. Chapter five: spend money responsibly. Chapter six: practice lifetime vows. Chapter seven: show respect no matter what. Amen. So that's some of the chapter titles and the subject matter that the book is going to cover here. And again, we want to encourage the brothers out there, husbands, to take the opportunity to get the book, go through it with your wife, do it as a devotional, do it as a study. So again, to tune up our marriages, no matter how long. Again, I always say it doesn't really matter how long you've been married. It's just what's the new challenge that's right around the corner that you're tuning up for. Again, when we tune up our homes, we do remodeling, we take care of our cars, and our marriage is the same way. We have to check the oil, check the air in the tires. You know, you get ready to go on a trip, on a road trip, you got to make sure you don't want to break down on the way. So in our marriages, we need to check it to make sure it doesn't break down along the way. You and your spouse will live out a life that is, again, glorifying to God and pleasing to Him in your marriage, in your marriage relationship, and have a true and honest marriage. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm not going to be long. I'm going to real quick just touch on some highlights. I'm going to touch on some of the highlights from chapter number one. Chapter number one talks about embrace, enhance, and enjoy friendship and fun. And I think that's important. We have to remember the things that we can do to have fun with our spouse. And I think relationships in our marriage, especially in our marriage relationships, we should enjoy being together. You know, it's as simple as that. If you struggle with having fun with your spouse, you struggle trying to find new and exciting things to do with your spouse, we have to take time out and reason these things out. Sometimes it doesn't happen. You know, when you were dating, you know, you had to plan the date. You had to come up with a plan, what you're going to do, how you're going to spend the night, you know, how much money you're going to spend, where you're going to go, because you're trying to impress. And, you know, you took time to figure out what you're going to wear. And, you know, for the sisters, they might got their, you know, makeup and hair done and get the right outfit to go hang out. So it's the same thing even in our marriages. We have to strategize. We have to seek wisdom and talk and communicate with one another and find out those things that we enjoy doing with your spouse. I'm going to touch on a few of the things that are pointed out in the book to encourage you, to give you an idea of some launching pad to think when you think about these things, about things to do to have fun with your spouse. Let's see. The first one, make plans to share fun, even silly activities with your spouse. Get outside your routine and let yourself relax and really enjoy each other for a while. You know, that could be a lot of things. That could be just walking in the park. That could be you spending time alone together in a quiet place, or even if it, you know, it's like an amusement park or, you know, some fun event that the two of you enjoy doing and just spending time together. You're not stressing about the issues of life, about the administrative tasks of marriage and family, just with the two of you are just enjoying one another. You know, and again, you know, something I always say, and I learned a long time ago, you know, date nights should be productive. They shouldn't just be a routine, same thing. And the worst, to me, sometimes the worst date nights you can go on is going somewhere and you don't talk. You may go to a restaurant, you eat and come back. That's not spending quality time together. Going to the movies, well, movie theater's not open, so we got rid of that. But even going to the movies, sitting in the dark for 2 hours, is not necessarily relationship building. And as husbands, we have to make, you know, we have to be doing some things that's relationship building, but then also things are just fun. We just enjoy being around each other. Flashback to when you were dating. Flashback when you were young and the things you would do, even before children came. And let me say about this. When you, for couples who have children of a certain age, establish a babysitter that you can trust. I think that's very important. It's not family or someone you can trust that you can know you can be secure and leaving your children with, whether it's for you and your spouse to spend time together. And I always talk to young husbands, I think we need to take responsibility for that also. Just don't leave it for your wife to find a babysitter. But sometimes, you know, we do that, and she can't find nobody, and you haven't even tried. So since she couldn't find nobody, you don't have to go nowhere. Putting your whole card out there so your wife will know. Amen? But anyway, as husbands and fathers, we can take the lead and plan some of these things out to reach out to plan activities for our wife. Let me move on because I just wanted to do a short. I am not going to be here long tonight. I just wanted to plant these seeds and let you reminisce over them. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Barr. You can listen to the archive of this show and the rebroadcast and you know, get your paper, pencil, and write some of these things down and hopefully apply them to your marriage and to your relationship. Let's see, number two. Oh, here it is. Number two, sit down with your spouse and make a list of five things you both love to do and use that list and agree that you're going to schedule time for to complete those events as a couple in the next couple of months. You know what I mean? That's what also planning out over months and weeks what you're going to do and how you're going to spend your time together. That's also helpful. Make a plan. Make a schedule. Make sure your schedules coincide with finances and with free time. And like I said, with the babysitting issue, if you plan out a month ahead, 2 weeks ahead, 3 weeks ahead, it's not just, you know, you want to go somewhere on Friday and it's Wednesday and you're trying to find a babysitter. Second it, if finances are concerned, start saving for whatever you can afford, even if you can afford it initially. You can save it up. Or even if your finance is the issue, find something cheaper. Again, this is about spending time together, not how much money you can spend, but spending time. So if the finance is the issue, you may not be able to go out, you know, to eat or whatever, but you still could, even with, say this with the babysitting thing, so even if you spend the money for someone to watch your children for a couple hours, that you might stay at home in the quietness of your home and get that break. So if finances are concerned, figure out. Or again, you can do a layaway date where you're saving money every week, every paycheck to have that date night or that getaway every 3 months, every 4 months, or whatever it takes, however your finances are set up. But again, you have to think this out, sit down together and work it out. Amen. Let's see. Number four, being willing to sacrifice spending money on something you enjoy as an individual so that you can spend the money on both of you. All right. Brothers, men, you know this money, this thing that you want to do that you're willing to spend your money on. But instead of doing that, spend it on something that you and your wife can do together. Now, it could be a lot of things that, there's so many things that we as men are willing to spend our money on and other things we're not. But that money or that finance, use that to spend, to be able to spend on your relationship, your date night or whatever it is, or getting away. That you wouldn't go, you know, some brothers out there go golfing, some brothers go out to, you know, was it golf and tennis, or, you know, I can't think of so many things, but you know what you spend your money on. It could be a lot of different things that you enjoy doing. It could be bowling, and you're part of bowling leagues. You're part of sports. You're part of whatever it is that you put money aside that you can go and do on your own on your marriage and spending that time with your spouse. That's how you can save up and put your next date night, your next weekend away, and put it on layaway. Amen. Let's see. The next one is, if your spouse loves to do a certain thing that you hate to do, oh my. All right, brothers, you know the thing your wife likes to do and you don't like doing it. Sometimes you have to make sacrifices. Marriage is sacrifices. So you can make a plan to do that thing. And you may know, if you lift the veil, you might even enjoy it if it's something she likes to do. And then on the other side, if it's something that your spouse, you know, that your spouse, that you do, that your spouse may not like, try to find a way to get her engaged that she might even just try it. Or y'all could swap off. You do one thing with her, she does one thing with them. You never know. Because sometimes people just make they prejudge. They've never done it before, so they may not like it. You know, it could be a lot of different things. I don't know. It could be going to the gun range. It could be something extraordinary, something that you like to do, your spouse doesn't necessarily like to do. But engage them to get them involved. You never know. Get them involved with it. And then, on the other hand, she might do some things that you might want to just do with her. But again, every home, every relationship is different. Every woman, every husband is different. But find out about your spouse and the thing that they enjoy doing and spend time and engage with them to do it. Amen? If your, next one, if your spouse won't do anything fun, then you do something fun and interesting and invite your spouse to join you. You know, sometimes I used to do when we were younger, it would always be that, you know, I asked my wife what she wants to do, she wouldn't think of nothing. So even with us as husbands, try to figure out something new and something out of the routine that you usually don't do. Like I said, going out to dinner, going to the movies, something that I heard a long time ago, you know, from T.D. Jakes, he was talking about marriage. Going to another church service or a marriage conference is not a date night. That's not a time. That doesn't count. Those are good things to do and go, but planning to go to another church event for the Christian, that just may not be the thing that y'all spend time with. I mean, let's be realistic. Let's be honest. You know where your spiritual level is. You know your spouse's spiritual level understanding is. It's fine to maybe go to a gospel concert or whatever, but not just go to church again and call in. There's other things out here that we can experience and enjoy as a couple and really spend some quality time and learn something new experiences together and grow together and gain a new experience and new habits. These are what memories are made of. When you get down the road, the things that you did back whenever. Amen. Finding new things to do and planning. Plan something with other couples. And if you don't have other couples in your life, this is one of the other things that I always talk about when I talk to brothers when we do our Man Up events and our men's meeting. What other couples are in your life? Other Christian couples. Because, you know, for young married couples, I tell all the time, I mean, you have to figure out that your single friends, even if they're in the church, you have to connect with some other married Christian couples, older, younger, you know, whatever, to connect and build that bond and that fellowship with other Christian couples who, again, I knew a couple who did a marriage ministry, and their whole theme of marriage is, I love being married. I love marriage. I love being married. You have to hang around couples who enjoy and love being married. They love the married life, and they love their spouse. You'd be surprised how contagious that can be. You know couples who don't get along, and you feel uncomfortable being around them because the way they talk to each other, their body language, and the whole atmosphere they set. Hopefully you are not that couple, but you know couples like that. So put other couples in your life. Build small group couples. And again, it doesn't have to be a Bible study or a marriage, whatever. It can be to, again, come together. Couples night, couples dinner night, going out, invite folks to your home, two or three couples. I know we're in COVID-19. But even in the midst of that, small gatherings, but sometimes a big crowd of people, there's really no intimacy and connection. But a couple, if you and one of you or two other couples, or you and two or three other couples, and then engage one another to get to know and spend time with each other, encouraging one another, that can also be helpful. Amen. The next one we said, don't allow yourself to become addicted to the sameness and predictable and safe things. Try something new in your marriage. Try something new in the venture. Try something, I don't know, so whatever it is, something you haven't done before that you and your spouse can go out and experience a brand new experience together. Where, again, we're setting new memories. We're setting memories for our relationship, memories for our marriage. We're going to have memories for our children, grandchildren, and while we used to be, but what are we doing now to set new memories? What's going to be your memory? For example, what was the most exciting thing you did as a couple back in 2019, 2018? What will 2020 hold when you look back in years from now? What happened in 2020 besides the pandemic that the two of you have memories of that was out of the unusual? You got out of your comfort zone and out of your box. Amen? And lastly, if you can't think of anything fun or new and exciting or challenging, the two of you can fully engage in or just try one time. Reach out. For old folk, we talk to young couples, see what they're doing. Reach out to people around you. your coworkers, what do they do with their spouses? You'd be surprised. Talk to your unsaved couples, and see what they're doing when they go out with their couples. Because what's the thing? Come to realization, when you really do your research, take your trip, one-day trips. I'm here in Baltimore. Anything, you take a look at a map, any place you can get in 4 hours is a one-day trip. Those cities here in America that you haven't been to, within 500 miles, you could take a plane, spend a weekend, go to a city, do the tourist thing, come back, those kind of things. But ask people. You ask other people what they're doing on their vacation. You never know. Some people, we know folk in the church. We know folk in where we work with who go on vacations every year. Find out, engage people. Find out what they did on their vacation where you can go. You don't have to go on vacation for 2 weeks. You can always go somewhere for 2 days, 2 nights, and come back and still have that time together, have new experiences, and, again, having fun with your spouse. Amen? Amen. So, again, the book is called Even an Even Better Marriage. Start today, and be happier forever. It's by Steve Arterburn, Arterburn. I mean, encourage you to get that book, read it. It's given some ideas and some insights on having an even better marriage than you have now. Even if you see your marriage as wonderful, great, but you never know where you can get new ideas, pick up new habits, be encouraged to just do something different. So, again, if our marriage is for life, we have opportunity to have new and exciting experiences every year, building memories, building friendship, having fun, and increasing our friendship with our spouse, that our spouse is truly and honestly becoming our best friend just by the time we spend together. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're talking about saving marriages one marriage at a time. And I pray that something I've said tonight and shared with you will help to encourage you in your marriage, encourage you to grow in your faith, encourage you to be the husband, lead in your home as God called you to be, and to love your wife and sacrifice for her as Christ sacrificed for the church. So we're going to close in prayer. Also, I want to thank all those who called in. I see you here on the switchboard. If you want to ask a question, I'll have a comment or share some insight, you can press 1 on your keypad now, and I can bring you in. All those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, I also appreciate you for joining in. If next time we're on, again, write the number down, 646-668-2636, and you can call in and be part of the program. Amen? Amen. So with that, I'm going to close out in prayer. And again, this is an Issues Christian Men's Talk. We are here on Monday nights at 8 p.m., on Thursday nights at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we just say thank you, God. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of men, in husbands, fathers, and sons. Father, I ask that you continue, oh God, to bless them, continue to watch over them, oh God. Father, I pray for peace, oh God, today, oh God, in our communities and in our culture, God. God, you are in control and you are sovereign, God. Nothing is happening is a surprise to you. But, Father, even in the midst, oh God, your church, oh God, would stand up and be salt and light, that your church would bring comfort, that your church, oh God, would speak life into situations and bring order to the chaos, that your church would continue to pray, that you would use us, oh God, to minister to those who are struggling, oh God, those who are hurting, oh God. Father, we pray today, oh God, for those who are in hospital beds tonight, who are struggling with all kinds of diseases, but we know that the COVID-19, God. We're praying for the president, oh God. We're praying for the scientists, oh God. We're praying for those in the labs, oh God, that are seeking for a vaccination, oh God, that would save lives, oh God. So, Father, we know that you are in control, and we trust you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. And we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. See you in the next episode.